With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to the Ross y Tacticas podcast. This is your host, Keon Sobani, on Zoom with a red face because my head is about to pop off my shoulders with that intro. Diego Lorin took off his headphones. He even flipped me the bird before we started recording, and by bird I mean middle finger, not the other bird. I asked him, hey, I gotta ask, do you want to do the intro? And he just gave me the finger, and I said, okay, once again I have to step up. So for the last time this season, I'm doing the intro before we get waxed by the very Cruyff-esque tactics of Pep Guardiola, and Diego can dance a little bit once we get knocked out of the Champions League. So here we are on the back of Barcelona losing to Rayo Vallecano at home. And my challenge to us, Diego, today is on a weekend where there was barely any Spanish football and it was one of the greatest nights in Real Betis' history, how much can we avoid talking about the Copa del Rey final and still not give any attention to any team outside of Real Madrid and Barcelona? Let's see what we can do there. Diego, welcome to the show, buddy. How was your weekend?
Exhausting.
Man, you're a tough interview today. It's going to be a tough one. I'm going to have to fill some airspace. It's like interviewing Kevin Durant on TNT.
Sorry, man. Hey, you know, you wanted to record on Monday. I'm doing this for you, bud.
Then can you give me something? At least tell me something negative. How about that? Can you do something? Can you just tell me how you feel? Like, what was it like watching? Does it matter anyway? It doesn't matter. We already know who the league champion is. You're not going to drop out of the Champions League spots. Does it matter? How much does this matter?
Who's to say we're not?
We're talking.
We can't, at home, cannot beat the 9-seeded team in the German Bundesliga. Whereas Cadiz fighting for their lives to remain in the Spanish top flight, can't beat them at home. And now we cannot neither beat Rayo Vallecano at home for the third consecutive home defeat. You feel pretty lousy, bro. Especially on a Monday, which is the busiest and worst day of the week. I don't feel like doing churros today. I'm going to be honest.
This podcast is very unique in that it's very transparent and open and honest. And I just love that you're very honest about these things, because on other podcasts, you'd probably hear things like, you know, I love doing this podcast. I want to be here for our listeners, but I like at least that you're congruent to how you're feeling. I guess my job here is to cheer you up. You won't remember this, I don't think. By the time the fall rolls around, you'll have a summer under Xavi, you'll get some new signings, Ansu Fati will return from injury, Pedri will return from injury, you figure out, you know, some some positions and you upgrade some players, you get more rhythm. You won't remember this. You won't remember this stretch under Xavi. And didn't you agree that, you know, Xavi's real first season starts next season anyway? Does it, like, you're not gonna?
Well, yeah, but you still, you know, you still want to, of course, secure the main objective, which is a spot amongst the top four. And even though you kind of brush that off as a certainty, looking at the games that Barca still have to play after having played 33 match days, you know, Mallorca's next. What are Mallorca doing? They're fighting for their lives. Betis is the week after that. What are Betis doing? They're winning the Copa del Rey. The week after that, we have Celta. Celta, always a tough opponent. Getafe, historically always tough as well. And finally, we end the match day, or we end the season rather, with a nice game at home against the Champions League semi-finalist Villarreal. So, no, this is not a certainty. This is not a certainty, especially when, as I just mentioned, you cannot beat the likes of Rayo or Cadiz or Eintracht at your own ground. You know, Xavi in a press conference was very self-critical, talked about his inability to, I guess, motivate his players sufficiently for these kind of games. And that's quite truly what it looked like. If there's one key word that we kept hearing from Xavi in his earlier press conference was, you know, intensity. And we're just not seeing this at this team from this team at this point in time. And quite frankly, it's mind-boggling. I know that our listeners tune in to hear our opinions, but I imagine some would also tune in for potential answers, possible explanations or reasons as to how a team can go from being the ninth seeded team in La Liga, then work their way up to sitting pretty in second by having defeated the current league champions, still the current league champions, the future league champions, Valencia, Athletic Club, Napoli, you know, big game, Atletico de Madrid, as I mentioned, Real Madrid as well, at home in the Bernabeu by four goal margins, to then dip so hard. The volatility of this team, again, I know I often make references and comparisons to the crypto market, but it is truly that. How else do you explain what you're seeing in front of your eyes when this team can simply not muster up the motivation, it seems, almost, to compete against more humble, lesser prestigious teams? And they think that, some of these players think that by simply just putting on the Barca shirt, the 3 points are already guaranteed and in the bag, and it's easy, you know, easy going, smooth sailing from here on in. That's not the case. This team, the traumas that this team still has overcome, the wounds that this team still has to heal, the recovery process that it's currently in, you know, isn't done yet. And this is becoming clear as we have now entered in this final stretch of the season. We thought, and I'll include myself, we all thought, and maybe even Madridistas, maybe you were even convinced that this team was effectively back, as we have been advertising and branding at any good given opportunity, such as this, as Xavi characterized, like a science fiction like victory over in the Bernabeu, when we managed to beat Madrid 4-0, and doing so playing excellent football very convincingly, to now this situation where, with 5 games remaining, we have to beat either very stiff opposition that are playing for European football, or opponents that are either, you know, that are fighting for their lives and to stay within the Spanish top flight for one more season. So no, it's not going to be easy. No, nothing is guaranteed at this point in time. And let's hope to God that now that we have caught up with the rest of La Liga teams and we've all played the same amount of matches, that you know, Xavi can muster up something special, so that these players are actually coming out with a fire lit underneath their asses, as they've got nothing else to do. So, you know, we have an entire week to prepare for Mallorca now. There are no more excuses. There's no more, you know, go, oh, well, this, that, and the other. No. What we have to see from this team from here on in for these final five match days is sheer another commitment, intensity, you know, a drive to grind out these victories by any means necessary. And please let it not be lacking in intensity, like we have been seeing, because, you know, we can be damn sure that a Mallorca that is just hovering above the relegation zone by 2 points now, they're going to come to the Camp Nou with a mission, and that is to stay within the Spanish top flight. I hope that we can match that level of you know, drive, of commitment, and again, intensity, so that we can assure our participation, not just within the Champions League. I want to secure the second place now. You know, I don't want us to drop from the second place. I want to qualify automatically for the Champions League, not have to do some pre-rounds over the summer that is just going to, you know, basically just drag this team through more games, more minutes, when I want this team to be fully focused with the task at hand already done come the off-season.
Well, this podcast is already a win. I didn't expect to get that much out of you, and yeah, you just you broke out of your shell there. I'm glad. That was great analysis. I think, you know, this part of the season usually is a part of the season I generally hate, because I feel like it drags on. There's so many meaningless games, but this year is not that. And as you said, you know, looking at Barcelona's schedule, all those games. Correct me if I'm wrong, dude. Would you say? I mean, I think Celta, like teams like Celta, won't have anything to play for example, because they're just in the middle of the pack. That's where they'll be. They won't be getting into the European spot. They won't be relegated. But it's Celta, you know. they have pride, and you know, Aspas almost wants to beat Barca. But
they've stripped away league titles from us in the past. You know, very recent history.
It'll be interesting to see where the league is at, like by the time the Villarreal game rolls around, the last match day, to put a further thorn in your side. There's another side of this that hasn't been talked about much, and that is if Real Madrid beat or even a draw against Espanyol on Saturday, they win the league on Saturday, which, you know, coming from a Real Madrid fan who, you know, doesn't have many league titles in my lifetime, not only to win the league title, but also to win it with this many games in advance is an unbelievable luxury. Assuming we can get to the Champions League final, even if we don't, I mean, just the fact that we could at least focus on City for now, even if we lose to them, is huge. But the side of the coin that I think not many are talking about is that with the league already wrapped up and Real Madrid not having anything to play for after Espanyol, if, again, that's if we draw or win against them and we don't lose, then we also play two teams that are direct competition with you, Atletico and Betis. And if we play some Castilla guys or we play some bench guys, like, you know, we bring, although, like, even talking about it, like, it's not that we would necessarily lose those games either, because if you think about, like, let's say what happens if you put Isco in the game. Isco's looked good in, like, the limited time. Maybe he wants to prove to someone he's still valuable before his contract runs out. He's hungry. Castilla guys are hungry. So it may not be a loss. But I'm talking about, like, if we go deep to, like, Jesus Vallejo territory, Rafa Marin territory, we start playing, I don't know, Jovic and whatever. If we start to rest guys against Atletico and Betis, who have to win those games, assuming they give them a chance in the top four, that could be dangerous for you guys as well. But I actually think you brought up a key point here. One of the problems for Barca right now, in my opinion, just looking at them, is they look a little bit gassed and tired. And I think part of the reason it worked initially under Xavi is because, well, Xavi's a very good coach, and I still believe that, regardless of what's happening here. I think there's been, like, the kind of the new manager bounce syndrome, where typically if you look at the stats, every time a team has a new manager, something good happens. But this one is more than just that. I think there was actually some really good tactical changes that Xavi's made. Scouting report has come out a little bit, but also players like Aubameyang and Ferran look like they could use a little bit of a break. And So you guys got a week rest between now and Mallorca, a week to regroup, not to think about anything else, no distractions. It's I feel like you guys will use that as the first game as like, okay, let's get this back on track. I you'll be fine. I don't think you'll drop out of the top four. That's my prediction.
Well, I talked about consolidating the second position as well, which I think should be it is the primary mission. With regards to certain players looking gassed, I agree, and that's a question that I have, and I think I would like to know your opinion on that as to why you think a coach wouldn't play a player like Adama Traoré more. When wreaking havoc is perhaps a stretch, but he certainly was creating danger on that right flank when he came in the 70th something minute against Rayo. We haven't been seeing very much from him, and I'm wondering why certain players are being used time and time again. And it's a similar narrative, it's a similar situation and storyline that we've had with different coaches, recent coaches and very recent coaches that simply seem to be playing certain players regardless of their form, when we have perfectly capable, able, and, you know, productive solutions on the bench. And they show that they can be very helpful for this team with the very few minutes that they are given, where they simply seem to inject the team with a little bit of, with that oomph, with a little bit of spice, with a little bit of extra motivation, thereby creating danger and uncertainty in their areas. And again, I'm referring here to Adama. So I thought that he was excellent when he came on and actually allowed was a breath of fresh air in this team. This we talk about often, how subs are, you know, characterized as fresh legs on the pitch. Well, never better said than this time, when certain players seem to be lacking in these fresh department of their legs, and other players come onto the field with something to prove as well. Let's not forget that a player like Adama is on a mission to prove something. Sort of assuming that, of course, he wants to stay on. This is a player that is on loan from Wolverhampton, so we want to assume, nothing has been said, but he would like to stay here also next season. It's his boyhood club. He is from Hospitalet. He's born and bred. Barça just was born around the corner from the Camp Nou. So, this is a player that can provide so much. Why not use him a little bit more? Give a break to some of the other players that look in a little bit of gassed, and use your role players, use your bench players, because they can actually do some good. Luke de Jong, as discussed using a very funny anecdote, has got a higher goals to minute ratio than Mariano, who came on and 1 minute scored a goal. So Luke de Jong has been very valuable for us. Why not play him a little bit more? These are certain questions that you know, I would, yeah, I have, and that of course, I would like your opinion on, seeing as it's only just you and me in this one.
Well, I'd be curious to know what the roster looks like next season. Hmm. What is Adama going to go back to Wolves? Is he going to stick around? Like, what's your hunch on that? You just don't.
We don't know, because it's you know, there's the 30 million price tag hanging over his head. There's Trincao, who is still on loan there, so.
Yeah, my take on Adama is that he's just, I don't think he's at Barca's level. And I think he's, and maybe that's a harsh thing to say, because he's actually been really good for Barca. But I think as the games wore on, like, he wasn't as effective as he once was. I mean, he had a good cameo off the bench, sure. But, like, you know, I think teams just kind of know, if you just send a help defender, Adama has a bit of tunnel vision, right? He has the athletic ability and the ability to just beat players and get a cross in and create danger and havoc. And maybe off the bench, I think he makes more sense. But I don't think he has the IQ to play in what Xavi's trying to do here. Because he does seem to just, like, every time he gets the ball, his head is down and he goes down the wing. And that can be a detriment, because he misses cutbacks, he misses open players and he misses better options. And so that's just one thought. Like, if he's 30 million, whatever pennies you guys have, I think you should be, in my opinion, should just re-sign Dembele if you can.
Right.
And also just give some of the other youth products a chance. I mean,
yeah. I mean, the thing is, though, but and I get what you're saying. I think it's somewhat fair criticism based on probably what you saw from him, you know, early on, even though, as you described as well, he has been very productive and very helpful for this team. But in recent games where he does get, you know, the 10-minute, 15-minute cameos, he's actually proving to be very helpful. I mean, it's sort of you know, he's a difference maker in these kind of games. Even I would go so far to say where, and that's not taking anything away from Dembele, but because I think Dembele has been Barca's best player, you know, with the permission of Pedri, who's of course injured now. But it would be interesting to, for example, to see Adama and Dembele together. You know, why one or the other? Why not just put both in? Because I think that, hammer home this point, I think in these last few games where Adama is given a few minutes, he's actually proven to be potentially very effective if he had more time.
So were you thinking, like, you put Dembele on the left, Adama on the right?
Yeah.
Sure, I guess it depends on who's healthy and who's not. I mean, you know, Ansu, hopefully he cuts back and he's just, if he's healthy, he's going to start on the left. But obviously, you're probably not talking about
Adama now, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're also not, I don't know why it hasn't been something that Xavi has looked at more given the right back situation right now. And obviously, unfortunately, right now, Dest is also injured for the season. But I'm surprised he didn't get more looks at right back. Did he get any looks at right back, actually?
No, but it's quite known that he's not keen whatsoever to play in that position. Okay. It's almost like a bit of a taboo, right? I mean, I believe, and you might, or our listeners might know more about this than us, but that a lot of his problems at Wolverhampton was stemmed from his disagreements with the coach because he wanted to play Adama at right back, and he just flat out refused.
So I think, I mean, part of the reason I bring that up is because I think, like, if he's just the guy who can be a tireless, you know, runner and tracker and also someone who can provide overloads for that right side, I think he actually works well systemically as a right back, whether he wants to or not. I guess that's a different conversation. But I think, like, to me, there's a huge, huge gap in talent between Adama and Ousmane Dembele. Whereas, like, what Adama does really well, again, is dribbling past people, bringing the ball up the field, and pretty decent in the air. I kind of think that's it. I mean, he's not going to, even with the ability to dribble and cross, he's not going to create goals the way Dembele can on a consistent basis. He's just not that good of a creator. And you can see, like, Dembele makes things happen more consistently. And I think Dembele, if you sign him, my point is, I think he's more of a guy who can change the game off the bench. I just don't know if that's worth 30 million when your resources are a bit tight.
And again, I want to make sure that this is clear. I'm referring to these final five games that have to be played now from here until the end of the season, where I would love to see Dembele on the left and Adama on the right.
Yeah.
You know, give a rest to Aubameyang, give a rest to Ferran, give a rest to these players that have been playing literally all the minutes.
Well, Memphis possible. Looked fresh off the bench too, right?
And playing in his position too, so yeah. That was nice.
So,
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I guess we can. Would you chalk it down then, this like slump in form, a combination of lack of motivation and also fatigue?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
and
you have
teams
to,
being
right?
efficient against you guys as well.
And exactly. Yeah. Teams with very little are able to create a lot of damage with very few shots on goal. That's certainly something, an area that needs to be explored and fixed as soon as possible, because this is also a problem that has been dragging on for with this team for far too long. And, you know, I mean, it's a genuine question why I ask, or that I asked you, how is it possible that we can see this team put four past La Liga's or you know, La Liga's best and or very informed teams in Europe as well, and then stumble and incapable of mustering up the minimum motivation to actually be competitive against these more humble teams, as I usually describe them. And you know, maybe Xavi is the one that gave that answer in the post-match press conference by saying, "It's my fault. I assume my blame, and I clearly haven't been able to get these players motivated enough for these kinds of matches." If that's the case, you know, I think it's still a matter of which players are or why are players not able to be capable of to be motivated enough for these kind of games, and I wouldn't necessarily, you know, have such a critical vision or opinion about Xavi's perhaps lack in ability of you know, building up the motivation within his squad, because I mean, look, I'm not there at the practice grounds. The most I get to see are the first 15 minutes, which are usually very light, and for the cameras it's ha ha hee hee, a bit of shits and giggles, but I would have to think that a player like Xavi, who again I describe as the best Spanish football player in history, I find it hard to believe that he doesn't have what it takes to fire up a locker room. So it's for me more of a question like, who are these players and why are these players not you know, feeling it before a match, before a crucial match that again is described by their head coach as a final. Which it is, you know, the season is not over yet. Where we come from is a dire situation, but we are walking a very, very thin line to actually guarantee that also next season will be, you know, if not just as dire, perhaps even more so if we cannot qualify for the Champions League or hold on to that second spot.
One thing, I mean, and you and I haven't discussed this, although we did discuss it a little bit last week, but we haven't discussed it much on the podcast for obvious reasons. But it is an elephant in the room we haven't addressed yet. And I'm just curious, and I don't know the answer, but how much of a distraction is the PK stuff, do you think? Does that come into play at all with the morale or anything?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Xavi says it, you know, Xavi says when asked about it, he said that Piqué needs these kind of quote unquote distractions. Judging from Piqué's form, I wouldn't, you know, go out on a witch hunt and blame him for the team's lack of motivation and intensity in these games, or, you know, the reason why we have been dropping valuable points. So, I don't see a whole dressing room being entirely shook up by these events that happened. If anything, it would have probably been good banter within the team itself. something maybe to laugh at. Maybe some players did have some questions for Piqué, in which case, knowing or what we know from Piqué, wouldn't be, I imagine, shy also to, he wouldn't shy away from the chance to talk about it with his teammates. So I don't think that's that, no, that has anything to do with it.
A follow-up question to that. Obviously, he didn't play against Rayo, but usually what you know, in the stadium, what they do is they also read the subs a lot at one point. You know, they're announcing in the stadium the subs. You know, Gerard Piqué did, what was the reception when they said his name? Do you know?
No.
Okay. How does he get received when he does play in the Camp? Do people care? Do they boo? Do they do anything? No. Is it neutral?
No, neutral, yeah.
Okay. Churros y Tacticas podcast, where Keon tries to get Diego fired from his job. All right, well.
It's not Friday, Keon.
It's not Friday. What's, I have, this is one of three podcasts for me today. And I got another one.
What do you have tomorrow then?
Tomorrow is just post game stuff.
Yeah.
Do you want to give out some Champions League predictions then?
I'm just praying to the Champions League gods to throw us a bone here. Please.
You realize asking Champions League gods, it literally Champions League gods is you're asking a Maridisa in that situation to help you out. You have to ask the Champions League devil, the Satan of Champions League, to arise from the ashes to stop the voodoo.
That's it. Well said. Well put.
But look, Manchester City gave us a lot of problems 2 years ago. I will say, I think we're a better team now than we were then. I think even some of the players who appeared in that tie are much better now than they were. Like Benzema and Vinicius are actually better players now than they were 2 years ago, I think. And City have a multiple amount of injuries to key backline players. And I don't know who the hell they're going to start at right back. I don't know. We're going to talk about it in the podcast upcoming in like 15 minutes. But so the timing actually is decent for us for us to play them now and not like, let's say, you know, 2 months ago or some shit. So there's that. What about Villarreal Liverpool? Any chance for them?
I mean, against Bayern, I was, you know, very adamant about, obviously, I didn't even consider, I mean, and even in the second leg, I was adamant to say that I thought they were going to, you know, receive a hefty beating over in the Allianz Arena in Munich. So who am I to say that they don't have a chance? They clearly do. They managed to get, you know, to eliminate one of the best teams in Europe. Why wouldn't they be able to repeat this feat against Liverpool? You got to give him a chance. This is historic for them. This is the second time in their history that they're playing a semifinal. Already when they first did so, it was going to set up an all Spanish final between Barca and Arsenal, Villarreal back in, what was it, 2007-ish?
Yep.
You know, so they're at the cusp again of, not just, well, they're making history at the moment by reaching the semifinals again, but they're at the cusp of potentially even sugarcoating that history by reaching the final. Again, I hope they don't, and this is not because I'm an anti-Villarreal, anti-Yellow Submarine. I just simply want, in the far-fetched case, according to big data, that Madrid do reach the final. I want them to obviously face the strongest opposition. And I think against Villarreal, as good of a team that they are, in their very first final to go up against the team, the club that have won the most Champions League finals in their history, I think is probably a step too much for them, where many players would already sort of deem it a job well done that we reached the final. So, you know, I want Liverpool to go through on this one 120,000%.
You have hate in your heart, Diego.
I hate
so, so much hate that you sacrifice Villarreal fans' happiness. Yes. So if City beat Real Madrid, though, I'm assuming you want Villarreal to make it to the final.
Of course.
Yeah. All right. Okay, well, good luck to your dreams. And
yeah. Did Pochettino just get fired?
I don't know.
In France, they're saying that Le Parisien is saying that the firing of Mauricio Pochettino is imminent.
Yeah. I feel like we knew that, kind of, anyway.
Well, who are they going to take?
I've heard Conte, but I don't know.
Zizou.
No, please no.
Zizou.
Please no, 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 no.
Zizou.
No. No, I think it'll be... I mean, from what I read, it Conte was a candidate, but I really don't know. Mm. All right, Diego. We'll be back Friday for Patreon.
No, Betis Valencia?
We did. We talked about them for 4 seconds. What else do you want? All right, let's give up the summarized thoughts from me is that I had, you know, on the Friday Churros podcast when you couldn't make it, I said,
hey, yeah.
I said that Betis has the better team. I think Betis is going to win. But what I was sure of, 100%, and I wasn't sure that Betis would win, but they were favorites in my opinion. What I was 100% sure of was that it was going to be a good game. Just knowing that Valencia are also built for a game like this to shit house and frustrate and drag it and, you know, Bordalas. And, you know, if there's any team that can get in Betis's heads, it's them. So I predicted a good game, and it was. And the emotion just from Betis and their fans was incredible. You know, the scenes were incredible. Joaquin had his dick pic ready to go.
You see that?
Yeah. And also just Joaquin, like, unbelievable. The fact that, you know, I was watching, there was a ESPN FC had put out, like, on YouTube a clip of, you know, what it means for Betis. And Sid Lowe was talking about it, and he reminded us that Joaquin missed a penalty for Spain was it against Korea, South Korea, right?
Something, okay.
20 years ago. You remember that heartbreaking penalty shootout?
I remember the shootout. I don't remember Joaquin being the one that missed, but okay.
So good redemption from him. He's now won this competition twice with Betis, and he's just been around forever. I think he's just been around forever. And just what a night for him and all of Betis' fans in the city. Amazing. That's all I got to say. I mean, a little bit sad for Musa. That's got to sting for him.
Mm.
But hey, man, it's a bad penalty. Cracked under pressure.
Bad penalty. What are you going to do?
I don't know what to tell you. Yeah, you just got to learn from this and come back stronger. He's a talented player. That's all I got. Do you have anything to add to this?
Sad for Musa, happy for Miranda, if anything. For, you know, stepping out to the plate, winning and scoring the decisive penalty. It's the flip side of the coin, right? One man's failure and heartbreak is the other man's joy. Of course, Miranda still had to make that penalty. Yeah, but mainly just happy for Joaquin, man. What am I going to say? You know, old man Joaquin, like you said, the dick pics and just the happiness, the tears of joy for all of the Betis fans as well. You know, they don't get to celebrate these kinds of wins very often. And with their neighbors having become the kings of the Europa League and having to watch them, having to endure watching them win titles in their, you know, recent history, this was one that I'm sure was needed for all of the Betis fans. Happy for Pellegrini as well for, you know, redeeming his career. I always thought very highly of him as a person, as a coach, obviously without knowing him, but what we see and know from him. And after his traumatic, disrespectful exit, I would even say, and treatment from Real Madrid, the treatment that he was receiving, I'm happy for somebody like Pellegrini, who just seems like, you know, a good man, like a gentleman, if you will. So good. Happy for Betty.
Cool.
And I'm sure the king, you know, ¿cómo se llama? Felipe. I was going to say Rey, Don Juan Carlos. But Felipe would have been happy finally to assist in Copa del Rey final without hearing whistles being blown while the Spanish national anthem was blurring in the beginning of the game.
Okay. I don't know anything about what you just said. I know that he's there. He was there. But I don't know any of the political stuff you just said.
Okay. Good for you.
But if you want to elaborate on that on Friday, you definitely can do that and educate us. Educate me anyway. All right, Diego. Go enjoy the sun. I can see the sun blaring in to your window. And
no time, buddy.
Don't forget your sunglasses next time.
Shower.
Okay. Well, enjoy that. It's a special time also.
Yes.
All right, man. Have a great week. We'll chat Friday. Take care, buddy. Peace.
Sounds good. Bye. You too. Peace.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.